the cause. Everybody say the cause.
Amen. Take your Bibles. Remain standing for just a few more moments in Exodus chapter 25. And we're going to read from verses 8 and 9. Exodus chapter 25, verses 8 and 9. And then we're going to go over four chapters and read from Exodus 29. And then we're going to go to the New Testament and read from Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5. Starting our reading today, remembering that we're in a series, and we're in a series called Heaven to Earth, and we're up to part 2. If you missed part 1, you can catch that on our podcast, and it is available there. Exodus chapter 25, verse 8 and 9 says this, "And let them," this is God speaking, "and let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. According to all that I show thee," God says, "I'm going to show you," and he says, "after the pattern," I'm going to give you the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, "even so shall you make it." God says, "I want you to make me a sanctuary, and I'm going to tell you just how to make it. I'm going to give you the pattern." If we go over now to Exodus chapter 29, verse 42 and 43, it's on the screen. It says, "This shall," still speaking of the tabernacle, "this shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you." Isn't that great? Imagine having a God that is willing to meet with us. He says, this is the place, that this tabernacle, this is the place where I will meet you, and I will speak there unto you, and I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. Now that is all in the Old Testament. That was the tabernacle in the wilderness. Some people call it the tabernacle of Moses. But everything that happened in the Old Testament is a type and an example for us to follow today. We no longer set up tabernacle plans, and we no longer go through the ritual of the tabernacle, but this is we have a spiritual application today. And it says it in Hebrews 8 verse 5, talking about these things, it says, "who serve as an example and a shadow." Everyone say a shadow. This tabernacle plan is an example and a shadow of heavenly things. It is a pattern of heavenly things. Just like as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, it even links back and says it's a shadow, it's an example. And God told him, "See," saith he, "that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount." And I believe that in the Old Testament, yes, God gave Moses the instructions to build the tabernacle so that the Israelites could have God dwelling in their presence, so God could speak to them, so they could come into the presence of Jehovah. And those things in the Old Testament, as Hebrews tells us, are a pattern and an example for us today. And so we can also hear from God. We can also go into the presence of God. We can also experience the presence of God in our midst if we will follow the same pattern. And so I continue today on this title, Heaven to Earth. And this is part 2. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord God, I pray that you would turn me into a microphone from heaven, oh God, that people would hear your word today. Speak a unique word to every heart in this place today. Touch every heart, Lord God, just as you would today, in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. Heaven to earth. As I said last week, this is one of the favorite things I like to preach about the tabernacle plan. But the entire purpose of the tabernacle in the wilderness and Moses' tabernacle, the entire purpose of the tabernacle was so that a holy God could have a relationship with a sinful people. Everybody say, that's me. We are, the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The whole purpose of the tabernacle was that so a holy God could have a relationship with sinful people. But as we read in the scriptures already, God had given a very specific pattern for how the tabernacle was to be set up.
This relationship with God and God dwelling in their midst and in their presence and speaking to them would only function if they did exactly what God told them to do. God went out of his way to give them a pattern, to give them a plan. And if they followed the plan and if they did what God told them to do, God said, I will show up. I will be in your midst. I will speak to you. I will show up in my power and my provision if they followed the pattern that God gave them. I'm not saying that everybody go home in their backyard and pace out, you know, 150 feet and then 75 feet and set up all these things in their backyard because, no, you know, my wife didn't fall in love with my shadow, you know. Okay, these things are just a shadow. Okay, we don't fall in love with that tabernacle plan and all the instruments, but we fall in love with the pattern. All right, that's why Jesus gave them a pattern to pray. Also, he said, after this manner, also pray you. And he said, our Father, which art in heaven. He said, this isn't the exact prayer, but this is a pattern on how you can pray. And so the tabernacle was God's original blueprint. It was the original blueprint for how they were, and you throw that next slide up, to move into the presence of God. It was the blueprint how they could meet with God and hear God's voice. It was a blueprint for a pattern for our relationship with God. It was a pattern for prayer. Everybody say prayer. You can follow this same pattern in your prayer time, and a lot of people do it. But even more than any of that, it was a foreshadowing and a pattern of the plan of salvation. Everybody say salvation. I want to quickly show you this picture, and we'll come back to it again. You know, if you throw that next slide up, the picture of the tabernacle and salvation, you can even see the different steps as you go through the gate. It speaks of humility. Coming humbly before God. The first thing that you see when you come through that gate is you see the brazen altar, which speaks of repentance. If you want to have salvation, you must go through the gate. You must come humbly before God. You must go to the brazen altar, which speaks of repenting of our sins. Then after that, as we'll study today, they would go to the laver of water. What do you think water speaks of in the plan of salvation? Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And then they would go into the holy place, which speaks of the Holy Spirit. And so this tabernacle plan is a tabernacle for relation, a plan for relationship. It's a plan for bringing the presence of God and hearing God. It's a plan for salvation. And we can, listen to me today, we can still bring heaven to earth if we follow the pattern that God gives us. Amen? We're no longer in Old Testament times, no. But the Old Testament serves, as Hebrews says, as an example for us. Even when referring to Moses and the children of Israel, Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. He was referring back to how the children of Israel came out of Egypt. And he said, even the way they came out of Egypt, it's a pattern for us. They came out of Egypt by the blood. Speaks of repentance. Then after they got out of Egypt, what happened? They almost thought the game was all over because they came to the shores. They came to the water and they went down through the water, which speaks of baptism. And then they followed a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And both the cloud and the fire speak of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And Paul said about that. He said, it's a type of salvation. He said, now all these things happened unto them. That's speaking back in Moses' day, leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. He says, now all these things happened to them for examples. They were patterns and they are written in the Old Testament for our admonition. Now we're the New Testament church. These things are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. There are patterns in the Old Testament that we can follow. And we are the generation, I believe, upon whom the ends of the world will come. I believe that with all my heart. I mean, I opened the newspaper today in the Daily Telegraph. Read it for yourself. The Tasmanian government is fighting for abortion rights for men. Exactly. What? Read it for yourself. How much crazier can the world get? I truly believe that we are living in the generation upon whom the ends of the world has come. Amen? And so God has given us a pattern. God is a God of detail. He gave a pattern to Noah. He said, if you're going to save yourself and your family, follow the pattern. Build the ark with gopher wood. Line it with tar and pitch. There's going to be one door, and this is how you're going to make it. God is a God of detail, and God is a God of order. I said this yesterday to point out last week how God is a God of detail, and there are over 100 million stars in our galaxy. Everyone say our galaxy. Over 100 million stars in our galaxy. Scientists say that there are another 125 more galaxies. And Psalm 147, when speaking of all the stars in our galaxy and the hundreds of millions of stars in all the other galaxies, look at this. Psalm 147 verse 4 tells us that God not only numbers the stars, he doesn't just know the number, but he calls them by name. They've got a name. And despite all of the beauty and the brilliance of the stars, God uses four words. It says, and he made the stars also. Simple. But when it comes to the tabernacle, there are more than 50 chapters in the Bible. Five words for all the stars. He made the stars also. But more than 50 chapters discussing and describing the tabernacle. I believe this is a pattern for us to bring heaven to earth. Amen? The gate. We talked about the gate last week. I'm not going to dwell long in a revision, but it speaks of humility. The gate, they would go into the outer court, which was the outside, the outer court there. And that gate wasn't like a swinging gate. It was a large tapestry type thing. And there's meaning and symbolism even behind the colors that God told them to use in the gate. But they would go to that gate and they would have to lift up the curtain and they would have to go and bow and go underneath it. That speaks when we come into the presence of God. We don't come into the presence of God with our chest puffed out, thinking we're anything full of pride or anything like that. No, we must come and approach God with humility. If you don't approach God with humility, you aren't going to get past the gate. If you can't bow down before God, you won't get past the gate. You won't even get in to the outer court. The Bible says in James 4, humble thyselves in the sight of God and he shall lift you up. If you want to be lifted up, you don't lift yourself up. You can't lift yourself up. But if you humble yourselves in the eyes of God, he will lift you up. Humble yourselves, 1 Peter 5 verse 6 says, under the hand of Almighty God, that he shall exalt you in good time. Then, after going through the gate, the first thing they saw, the first thing that in their eyes, nothing else, the first thing was the brazen altar. And when you come before God, when you go through that gate, the first thing you do is you go and repent of your sins. The brazen altar speaks of a sacrifice, laying down our flesh, laying down our life, crucifying and sacrificing our flesh. We say, God, I want to repent before you. I don't want to live that life that I was living. I don't want to be rebelling against you anymore. God, I want to walk in your ways. I don't want to be led by my flesh anymore, God, but I want to walk according to your ways. And repentance is so important. One of the best definitions I've ever heard of repentance, and I can't tell you where it came from because I've heard it so many times. But repentance is an inward change of attitude that results in an outward change of action. It's Jesus working on the inside, showing on the outside, an inward change of attitude. And Jesus said himself in Luke 13, verse 3, and this is how important repentance is. But he says, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. The words of Jesus himself. If you're ever going to debate the importance of repentance, take a look at that. We must repent. And Jesus says, you got two options, repent or perish. And so that repentance, though, in terms of salvation, it's not just a one-off thing, because even Paul said, he said, I die daily. And every single one of us, it doesn't matter how long we've been serving God, we must always be ready to repent before God. Paul said, I die daily. We cannot be controlled by our flesh in this world. Your flesh is going to get you in trouble. You see, those who are controlled by their flesh, you can't go any further in your relationship with God. You can't go any further into the presence of God. You can't experience the power of God in your life if you're going to allow yourself to be controlled by your flesh. You're never going to get into the Holy of Holies and that holy place if you're going to allow yourself to be controlled by the flesh. The Bible says those that are controlled by the flesh, they have death. But those that are controlled by the Spirit, they have life and peace. And so if you can't die to your flesh, then you will stay in the outer court. But today, I pray that I've got a church today that want to get past the outer courts. The old song says, take me past the outer courts into the holy place. Past the brazen altar, Lord, I want to see your face. I don't want to dwell in that outer court, but I want to get into the holy of holies, in the presence of God, where the Shekinah power of God is there. You see, the outer court is just a passing through place. The outer court was lit by a natural light. Everybody say natural. But when you went into that tabernacle, when you went into that holy place and the Holy of Holies, it had so many badger skins and so many coverings. There was no natural light in that place at all. Only it was lit by the Shekinah glory of God. That candlestick, which speaks of the Holy Spirit. We'll look at it. There was no natural light in there. And you know what? If you're going to dwell in the outer court, you're going to be following the natural light of this world. The things that are the ideas of this world and the ways of the world. Your own ideas and your own thoughts and your own plans. But I want to go past the outer court where the natural light is. And I want to go into the holy place and past that brazen altar. And I want to get into the Holy of Holies where His light shines. Jesus is the light of the world. And so those priests, one is not qualified, and we are priests today. The Bible says that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And one priest is not a qualified to put on the priestly robe until they have first come through the gate in humility and gone to that brazen altar and repented of their sins. And then they would proceed. They would walk after the brazen altar, obviously having sacrificed on that altar. There would be blood. There would be all sorts of smoke. They would smell. Maybe there'd be black smoke on their face because of the soot and the smoke. And they would walk then to the laver of water. And that's what I'm going to speak about shortly today. The laver of water standing between the brazen altar and the outer veil of the tabernacle. There was the laver of water. The Bible says that it was made of brass. It was a place not just to wash the hands, but it was a place to wash the feet. The Hebrew word translated laver in our Bible simply means a large basin to wash in. There were no specific dimensions given by God for the laver except that it had to be made of brass. It obviously had to be large enough so they could wash both their hands and their feet. Some scholars believe that there was two parts to it, that there was the laver in the top where they would be able to wash their face, and then there was a bowl at the bottom where they would wash their feet. In fact, one of the scriptures says, it talks about the base of it. It says, the scripture speaks of it having two parts. It says, the laver of brass and the foot thereof. And so it could speak to us, and it's not, the Bible's not specific, but that you would wash your face and your hands in the top, and you would wash your feet in the bottom. Because the priests, before they could go any further, had to wash their face, their hands, and their feet. But one detail that was specific about the laver of water was its placement. It was between the brazen altar and the holy place. Obviously, what I'm going to get to today is that laver of water speaks of baptism. It also speaks of the washing of the word. But there is no use going to the laver of water. You can't get to the laver of water unless you've been past the brazen altar. Unless you have truly repented of your sins, when you get baptized, you go in a sinner and come out a wet sinner. You go in a dry sinner and you come out a wet sinner. So the placement of that laver of water was between the brazen altar and the outer veil of that tabernacle. And so to go any further, they had to go. You had to go past the brazen altar. You couldn't bypass it. You had to go past the brazen altar, then to the laver of water. And so after the altar of sacrifice, no doubt that they were dirty from the blood of the sacrifice. And further, there was no floor, there was no tiles, it was dirt and dust. And so to go into the Holy of Holies, you must be clean. And this is the picture of the world today. As you go through life, you will find yourself getting dust on your feet, getting dirty of this world. And we live in a dirty world. Everyone say dirty. And we live in a dirty world. And if we want to go into the presence of God, we must be clean. We must be washed clean. If you want to get to heaven, you've got to be washed clean. And so the priests needed to wash with water, or otherwise, if they went into that place, they would die. They couldn't minister at the altar without washing. They had to cleanse themselves before they could do anything else. And right now, maybe I'm preaching to somebody that hasn't obeyed the plan of salvation yet. Before you can get to heaven, you got to repent of your sins at that brazen altar. You've got to wash, have the washing away of your sins in the waters of baptism. And then the promise is that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37 and 38 says this: repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so this laver of water, yes, it applies to baptism in salvation, but it applies to every single one of us who are also saved. Because this wasn't something that the priest just did once. They did it over and over in their life. And we also need to follow this pattern over and over in our life. The tabernacle is a blueprint for relationship and moving into the presence of God. Look at this. Exodus 38 verse 8 says this. If you can throw that up. He made the laver of brass and the foot of it of brass. And look how it was made. Of the looking glasses of the women assembling. Ladies, bring your mirrors. Bring your looking glasses. We're going to beat those things. They weren't made out of glass with a backing like today. They weren't like today's mirrors. They were polished brass, so they could see themselves. And so this laver was made, and it's a funny word, but out of the looking glasses, the mirrors of the women assembling. Now, I know that it's not just women that use mirrors. Sometimes some of the young guys I pick up to bring to church, they take a long time in the mirror too. But here specifically, it says that the brazen laver was made of the looking glasses of the women assembling, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. It was made of the looking glasses of women. It was made of mirrors, and it was filled with water. And so when the priests would go to that laver, while they were washing, they would see a reflection of themselves on the water, and they would see a reflection of themselves on the bowl. They would see what they look like. They would see their face. While they were washing, they would get a glimpse of their face in that mirrored bowl. And it was significant today. Nothing in the Bible is there by mistake. It is significant that this brazen laver in the tabernacle was made of mirrors, since mirrors are what we use to see what we look like. And for unbelievers, the initial cleansing comes when we repent and when we are baptized. Our sins are washed away in water. But for believers today, those of us who have already been born again, the cleansing comes from the application of God's word. Everyone say God's word. Jesus said to his followers in John 15, verse 3, he says, "Now you are clean through my word." And so when we come to, as believers, as born-again believers, when we come to this laver of water and it speaks of the Word of God, the washing of the Word, when we look into the Word of God, we are looking into a mirror. It is showing us just what we look like. It is showing us the state that we are in. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 and 27 speaks again, kindly hidden here in this scripture, about husbands loving their wives. Then it says in verse 26, Ephesians 5, that he might sanctify and cleanse the church, that is, with the washing of water by the word. the washing of the water. This laver of water speaks of the washing of the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And so as a believer, we go to this laver of water in our prayer time. In approaching God, we examine our hands, which speaks of our service to God. And we examine our feet, and which speaks of our walk with God. And we look at ourselves, not in comparing to other people, but we look into the Word of God and say, God, I want to see where I stand. I want to know what I look like according to your Word. God, I don't want to compare myself to other church people. I don't want to compare myself to other Christians. Oh God, I want to compare myself to this world. But Lord, I want to see myself in your Word. And so the laver was filled with pure water, representing the Word of God. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so God's word is what it speaks of, the washing of the word at the laver. For those of us who have been maybe saved a long time, yeah, we come in our prayer time, we come in humility before God and with praise and thanksgiving. We go and we repent of our sin, and then we look into the word of God and say, God, I want you to reveal what I look like. And sometimes when we come to church, it's just like that. The preacher preaches a message from the Word of God, and God begins to show you what you look like. Oh God, I can see. I can see where I need to change. I can see what you're trying to do. And so it was made of mirrors. It was made of mirrors. And James talks about mirrors. James chapter 1 verse 22 to 24. It says, be ye doers of the word. Everyone say doers. And not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, if you hear the word but you don't do it, he says, you're like a man who looks at his natural face in a glass, for he looks at himself, or he beholds himself and goes his way and forgets what manner of man he is. If you are just a hearer of the word and not a doer, you're like somebody who looks in the mirror, sees what's wrong, and doesn't do anything about it. Now, this is what mirrors are for, all right? Let me just tell you, all right? Mirrors are so you can see what's wrong and fix it. And just stand in front of the mirror going, they don't use mirrors these days, they use phones. I've seen these girls, like, she's looking at her phone, all these angles. I'm like, what is she doing, taking a selfie? No, she's looking at herself. Put all these different filters on. But mirrors, when we get up, when I get up in the morning and I stumble into the bathroom, I look in the mirror, I'm like, oh, my goodness, you better take a shower. Oh, those teeth, what's growing on them? You know, better brush them, you know. And then after I've had my shower and I got dressed, I go back to the mirror. Okay, I'm not that vain, but I go back to the mirror. I check my tie, check that I'm looking okay, make sure my hair, singular almost, is in place. Make sure I got nothing hanging out of my nose. If I had something hanging out of my nose and I saw it in the mirror, what would I do? I would remove it. I would fix it. And so the Bible says in James that somebody who hears the word but doesn't do the word is like somebody who sees, sorry to say, it's a bit gross, something hanging out of their nose and then doesn't do anything about it. And so they walk into work and say, hey, everyone's looking at them. No one wants to say anything, do they? But that's what the Word of God is. When we look into the Word of God, it's going to show us where we stand. It's going to show us who we are for the purpose of us. And this is the way God works. He says, come as you are, but don't leave as you came. That's what the mirror said. That's what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, come as you are. Look into the Word of God as you are. You don't have to be a spiritual person for 30 years and all. Just come as you are. But when you read the Word, don't leave as you came. And so if there's anything out of place, then you fix it. And that's when we come into the presence of God and we look into the Word of God. We look into the mirror of the Word of God, and God begins to expose things about our life. And God's saying, I want you to change. He says, yes, come as you are, but I don't want you to leave the way you came. God says, I love you too much to leave you the way that you came. That's what he said to the woman caught in the act of adultery. He said, go thy way and sin no more. I love you, but I love you too much
to leave you in your sin. And so when you look in a mirror and you see something that's out of place, you fix it. Come as you are, but don't leave as you came. And this illustration is telling us about hearing the Word of God, looking into the mirror of the Word of God, and doing what God's Word tells us. Then it goes on in James 1:25, "But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues thereon, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the Word, this man shall be blessed in his deed." There is a blessing for those who look into the mirror of the Word of God and change their life accordingly. God's Word searches us. It's a two-edged sword that delves deep into our hearts. And I know as I preach the Word today, God is speaking to people at all different levels about all different things. The Word of God is searching our heart. It's the spotlight of heaven as God begins to search your heart and begin to reveal things. It's like looking into a mirror. We need to pray what David prayed. He said, "Search me, oh God." When we come into the presence of God, if we've come through the gate, we come to that brazen altar and we repented of our sin. And now we say, "Oh, search me, oh God," as David says, "and know my heart." God, come right on in with your spotlight. Try me and know my thoughts. And if there be any wicked way in me, lead me in the way of everlasting. Oh God, let your Word cut deep. Let the mirror look deep into my life, the mirror of your Word. Let it expose my thoughts and the intents of my heart. Let your Word wash me, God. If we want to get into the presence of God, we've got to look into that mirror of God's Word. The laver is a type of God's mirror in which we can look and judge ourselves. In fact, the Bible says you're better off judging yourself than being judged of God. Today is the day you ought to look into the mirror of God's Word and start making changes. Because one day when you reach that great white throne judgment, God will open up His Word and He will judge you according to the Word. Psalm 119 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" How do young men live a right life? How do young men live a clean life? Wherewithal shall a young man, how shall a young man cleanse his way? Yeah, sometimes mum and dad need to have a stern talking to them. But the most important thing, it says here in Psalm 119 verse 9, by taking heed thereto according to the Word. You want to be blessed? If you want to have a clean life, if you want to walk in the way of blessing and the way of favor, then do what God's Word says. Look into the Word of God and change your life accordingly. John 15 verse 3, Jesus said, "Now are you clean through the Word." Make no mistake, God's Word matters. God's Word matters. And so there's kind of two parts to this message, and this is where I kind of struggle to try and bring the two. If you've never been saved, if you want to get to heaven, God has a pattern and a plan. Just like Noah's family had to be saved, Noah had to follow the pattern and the plan that God gave him. I believe with all of my heart that if Noah had begun to play with the plan, "Oh God, you know, go for wood, that's expensive down at Bunnings." The other day, that Jarrah was on special. And Jarrah looks nice. Smells nice. But let me tell you, as much as Noah might have thought that he knew better, and if he had changed the plan that God gave him, I don't believe the boat would have floated. "Oh God, that whole idea of having one door, surely we could have two doors, one for the kids and one for the adults." God says, "No, do everything according to the pattern." And when it comes to the plan of salvation, God has given us a pattern. It is foreshadowed in the Old Testament when they came out of Egypt, the blood, the water, and the Spirit, which speaks of repentance through the water of baptism and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Then we see it in the tabernacle through the gate of humility, the brazen altar, which speaks of repentance, the laver of water, which water comes up again, which speaks of baptism, then to the holy place, which speaks of the Holy Spirit. And so today, if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, maybe you've been to that brazen altar and you've repented of your sins, you need to go past that laver of water and be baptized in water in Jesus' name. The word baptize comes from the Greek word baptizo, which means to dip and to plunge under the water. The word for sprinkling is another word, raltizo. But baptism is when you are immersed in water in the name of Jesus Christ. It is by full immersion in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you've repented of your sins and never been baptized, this is your next step.
But for those of us today who want to know the power of God in your life, and if you want to know a pattern of prayer that will take you into the presence of God, where you can hear God speaking, where God can direct you, where you can feel the power of God, you have to go to that laver of water, which speaks of the washing of the Word. It's not just the washing of the sins once when we were saved, but the continual washing of the Word. Let me tell you, God will hold you accountable to what He shows you to do. When people first become a Christian, there's so much in the Bible. Christians look at the Bible, they say, it's so thick and there's so many things. How could I possibly know everything about the Word of God? And God says, I don't expect you to know everything yet. You're just a baby. But as you walk along the walk of life, I'm going to reveal things to you. And when God shows you something, that's when God says, I expect you to obey it. And when you look into that laver of water, which speaks the washing of the Word, when God begins to speak to you about something, He expects you to obey it. You can't go any further in your walk with God if you are rebelling against God's Word. If God has shown you something and you said to God, you say, God, no. God says, okay, I'll wait. And time again, He'll speak to you through the Word, through preaching, through songs, through your Bible reading, through friends. He'll speak to you over and over again. He says, come on, I've revealed this. It's something that you need to change in your life. You've seen it. It's like looking at a mirror and seeing something's wrong but refusing to do something. And so we're going to get in the presence of God. We have to go past that laver of water. And so the application for believers today is that our sins are washed away in the waters of baptism, but we are washed daily. Everyone say daily. Through His Word. If the musicians could come. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 14, make no mistake, God's Word is powerful. Turn there in your Bible to Genesis 1. I'm not going to read very much. In fact, I'm not going to read much from Genesis 1 at all. But I want you to skim through Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. When God was creating the heavens and the earth, we read three words over and over again, which prove to us the power of God's Word. We are a church that loves the Word of God. What I'm proud about this church is that whenever you hear preaching, you can guarantee there's going to be at least a dozen scriptures in the message. Some of my messages, if I go through and count, some of them got 40 scripture references in one message. The Word of God is powerful. It is powerful. And if you look through Genesis 1, you'll see three words. How did God create the heavens and the earth? The Bible says He spoke it. That's the power of God's Word. You read these words over and over again. And God said, let there be light. And God said, let there be a firmament. God said, let there be stars. God said, let there be animals. He spoke everything. I think more than 14 times in that first chapter we read. And God said, He speaks and things are created. And God's Word still speaks, and things are changed, things are created. And that is the Word that spoke the worlds into existence. And that same Word, that's that powerful Word that spoke the worlds into existence, is the same Word that cleanses us every day. I'm speaking to somebody today. God's been speaking to you about something for a long time in His Word. I tell you, you keep looking in that mirror, but you keep walking away and saying, another time. If you really want to go further in your walk with God, submit to God's Word and obey. It's the Word of God shows us what we look like. And so the laver, just having a laver, a mirror and some water, it doesn't wash you, but you need to apply it. Everyone say apply. They couldn't just walk up to that laver and say, well, I'm at the laver. I can see the water. I can see myself. But no, that priest then had to take the water and he had to apply the water. We need to apply the Word to our life. And so when he went to that laver, the priest saw himself. He didn't see somebody else. He didn't see somebody else in the church, no. He didn't see somebody else's family. He didn't see somebody else's walk with God. When he looked into that laver, he saw himself. The washing of the Word. And if God's been speaking to you today, Maybe God's been speaking to you for a long time. Before you could go any further into the presence of God, you've got to hearken to what God's word says. If you're here today and you haven't never been baptized in Jesus' name, that's your next step. But we are washed daily by the word of God. That's why we come to church. That's why we have the preaching of the word. That's why we have Bible devotion. That's why we open up our Bibles in the morning. Just as important as it is to take a wash in the natural, it's just as important in the spiritual to take a wash. And the Bible says it's the washing of the word of God. Let's all stand across this place today. Lord Jesus, we love you today. The washing of the word, the washing of the word. Oh God, we don't want to stay in the outer court. Let me tell you, the outer court, brothers and sisters, was the passing through place. To pass through the outer court. We're on our way, yes, past the gate, past the brazen altar, past the laver of water, because God, we want to get into the Holy of Holies and in your presence, oh God. Let's lift our hands all across this place today. We love you, Jesus. Take me past the outer court, oh God, into the holy place. Past the brazen altar, oh God. I want to see your face. I want to experience your presence. I want to hear your voice. I want to go deeper. I want to go higher in your presence, oh God. Come on, let's submit to God by raising our hands right now. We love you, Jesus. Lord God, I want to obey your word. I want to continue in your word. For Lord, you told us that those that continue in your word are your disciples, oh God. Lord God, wash us with your word today. Oh, take me past the outer courts into the holy place, past the brazen altar. Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people. The priests who sing your praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found one place. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, take me in, take me in to the Holy of Holies. Take the cord, cleanse my lips, here I am. If you want to come today, this altar is open. If God's been speaking to you about something, come and pray at this altar. Say, God, I want to get my flesh out of the way. And God, I want to do your word. And Lord, as I've looked into your word, oh God, you've been speaking to me about something. Lord, give me the strength and give me the boldness and the courage, oh God, to step out and do what your word is telling me to do. Lord Jesus, we love you. As we sing this song, this altar is open. Come and bow your knee. The best place, the best way to go home from a church service is to go home via the altar. Always get in the habit. The altar is not somewhere where people come that have got their life in a complete mess, although you can come to this altar if your life is a complete mess. But we must get in the habit as Christians of always finding ourselves at the altar. The altar is a place where...